And so that's a good setup for the preach, right? My preach is four lines of scripture. I'm not going past 12. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It's so important. He's gone and he's talked about propriety of worship. He's talked about here's what your households look like. Here's what your churches look like. He said, here's what leaders look like. Here's what spiritual gifts look like. Here's what love looks like. And then in chapter 14, the first verse, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Do you in all earnestness desire spiritual gifts? Do you hope and pray that he doesn't give you that weird one? Because I think that if in you, you got the "I am so uncomfortable with that," it's probably a good diagnostic that that's not you anyway, and you'll be okay. But then there's a person over there who's like, "I love that. Boy, that works for me. It's so good." And I just hope that the other person that it freaks out doesn't treat me like a freak. That's really important in the body of Christ. You know? Hey, appendix, stop doing that or we're going to cut you out. You know? That's the way it feels sometimes when you're a person who says, actually, with these hands, I pray for people and I've seen a lot of people get healed. I don't know what it is. It happens. I have stories to tell you. Is that okay? Can I be a person who comes up and prays for people when they need prayed for? I love to do that. I think it works. Yes, yes, you can. As a matter of fact, I asked someone else and they were like, please don't ever make me do that. So I figure that's a good diagnostic that they're not that person. The other person who says, I can do the door, but I don't want to count the money. Is that okay? Yes, that is. Yes, if you have a gift of hospitality, but administration is not your bag, we can define roles in the church based on giftings of individuals instead of have positions of institution that we need souls to fill. Do you understand the difference? I can do this in the church. May I come and play? Or, hi, some of you are going to die. We need you to do the difficult thing. March the beach, please. Don't you want to be a part of a fun outing called church where people like each other because you guys love each other? Because you hang out. When the guy's finally done talking, you're like, phew, now we can finally be with each other. And God is changing our lives through the preaching of his word. And he's encouraging us about the things that are true. And he's built us into a people of power. And it's wonderful to see. And more people are coming. And the people who are coming next week you haven't seen yet. And we look on the horizon. There's two horizons for me. There's two horizons. The event horizon of Jesus Christ soon return to the earth, maybe in my lifetime, maybe in my kid's lifetime, maybe not for another 400 years. Who knew when they made the King James Bible that it would last this long and we'd still be here, right? Maybe a good long time, maybe not so long. Maybe it's Russia and China and India and the Americans and all of NATO are deciding what they'll do about the trouble spot over there in the middle of the world that happens to be centered on Israel that until 2 years ago had no oil resources to speak of and yet is a strategic center of the earth and the focus of the three great world religions. That's one event horizon. Jesus is coming back. Look busy. No, that's not it. That's a bumper sticker. I've been about my Father's business and am about my Father's business. You are appointed. Go and bear fruit so that your fruit will last. Souls saved will last. Poor mouths fed will pass away. Stomachs will pass away. The future is not about poverty and meeting poverty. The future is about eat and drink without cost. You have exactly what you need. Right now, while people suffer and starve and we meet their needs, we do it to show them God loves them and to tell the story about Jesus Christ who died for their sins so that they might be saved. A hungry person saved or a sated person dying in eternity, where's the value? Which fruit will last? This is what we're about in this room. The good stuff, the helping, the nice things, and Jesus. In the wake of all things, the gospel told. Always the gospel. The coffee morning with gospel. The children's ministry with gospel. The youth group with gospel. Discipleship at every level, this church. And then God can bring the people who need it. And if we're here, can you please help me to be built up? Can I have a friend, please? Yeah, that too. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I'm going to leave defining the term prophesy for next week. We could talk about prophecy and tongues. We can do that. But basically, the things that God has to say to people, through people, that helps us know who he is and what he thinks so that we can regard him in truth, that's prophecy. Whether it's telling you something that's going to happen or telling you something that did happen or telling you something that's happening, that's prophecy. Pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, all of them, especially that you may prophesy, because it's the gospel that saves. It's the truth about Jesus Christ that brings life. That's why prophecy matters so much in light of all of the things that are gifts. And then verse 12 is the last one. Since you're eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. That's the sermon today. We are the church. We want the church built up. The Bible, in Jesus' words, says he builds the church through us when we all work together in love, gets the job done. That all sounds too easy. But when we get together in the church meeting, loving each other, talking about what needs to get done and how it needs to be done, that's going to be the church at work. We have a membership and a not-for-profit corporation that meets, that conducts the business in this world of this church where our feet touch the ground and the government sees it. That's another meeting. There's another one scheduled for in October, and we have the date already in the minutes of the last meeting, and it's going to happen. Anyone in this room can be a member, and you can be at that meeting. Today, after the service, we're having a meeting that's the whole church talking about being the whole church, and we don't mind if you're a member or not. We're not going to talk about anything that would offend or that embarrass anybody who was here who felt they shouldn't have heard stuff. There's no secrets in the life of the church. Anything that happens in the minutes of the corporation is still part of our public record and available for people to examine because we're a public charity. So all of these things, it just doesn't matter. There's a hazy line between membership or not. If you're not a member, you can't vote to buy more purple chairs. Sorry. Do you feel left out? Come be a member. You know? So we'll meet, we'll go, we'll take a break. We're going to have some teas and stuff. I said we'll start at 1 o'clock, but what if we start a little bit earlier to finish a little bit earlier and then to all go off into our day? Wouldn't that be all right? I think that would be all right. We'll have a cup of tea, and then we'll just bang a gong. If you can't stay, you don't have to. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. And then whoever does stay, that will be the gathered church to talk about the future of this church. Because there's actually some serious and sobering things to talk about. Tell the story. The gospel of Jesus in verse 13. Greater love is known this, that someone laid down his life for his friends, like my Lord Jesus did. Right? Jesus builds the church. And so we've heard that. I could tell you another verse to go look at that. Go home and read Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 18. I'm sure you'll all remember that. Seeking the Lord for every way forward, right? That's what we need to do. The Holy Spirit is here. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, you can read about that. I could stand here and read them and we'd stay longer, or I could tell you to read them and then we get to go. Will you have the discipline to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 18, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25 on your own and let the Holy Spirit lead you? I'm trusting that you will, because that's the end of the sermon. And so I'll say, Father God, we are your faithful servants, and the things that you speak, we want to hear, and we test all things and hold to the good, and we'll be Bereans. Who are those people in the Bible who, not like the Thessalonians, they went home every day and they checked to see if that stuff was in the Bible and if God really did say those things. And so help us to be those kind of people who check with you in our private life to see if what the person at the front is saying is true. And we love you, Lord. Please guide us and transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.